So as Ola said, we're going to be speaking from the Bible, which is pretty good for us as a church which believes in that the Bible is the Word of God. And we've been looking at this past two weeks, and this is the last in the series of our one another's. So we've been looking at what it means to love one another, to be united with one another. And today I'm looking at humility. And you know, at the very heart of the gospel is relationship. It's a restored relationship with God and transformed relationships with one another. That's what becoming a Christian does. You know, we become a new creation. Everything becomes new, and it actually affects everything in our lives. So to be part of the body of Christ, and we're going to be looking at that in this passage in Romans 12 this morning, to be part of the body of Christ means that we are a family and we're joined together. And it's interesting in a family because people perceive you, you know, by the family name. I've got the privilege this morning of having two grandchildren with me. Our son Tim, who's in Portsmouth, is away at a conference. He's actually out in the States, and we've got two grandchildren with us, and they carry the family name, the Blaber family name. And as believers, we carry what it means to be the family of God. And how you perceive a family is so important. And I love coming into this church where there's a real sense of us being united and with one another. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to take a passage at a time as we work through it. So hopefully this clicker is going to click. We're not clicking. I wonder if we need a new battery. Right, there we go. If it doesn't click, I'll have to do a sign when we need to move forward. So we're going to be looking at Romans 12, and I want to start at verse 3. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. We're going to stay in Romans 12 for most of the morning, although I will dance around a bit with some other scriptures. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Now, Romans is a book that was written by Paul, who was one of the early great leaders. And he was writing on some amazing truths about the gospel. And we're looking at starting off, as I say, from Romans 12. In fact, we heard verses 1 and 2 read out this morning about being transformed, transforming our minds, which changes us. But verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. And that really does raise a very important question. How on earth do we have a right sober judgment of ourselves? You know, what does it mean not to think too highly of myself? What does that actually mean? What does it mean to have a sober judgment? Not to think too highly, but by the same token, not to have a downer on myself. Now, I don't know where you sit on that scale. You know, some of us can think highly of ourselves, and some of us can think so lowly that, oh, I'm useless, there's nothing I can do. This passage will speak right into that, so we're able to get a right assessment. How we think of ourselves is actually so conditioned by the culture in which we live. And for as many TV programs that promote personal advancement, you'll find there are those that make people struggle with their sense of self-worth. And I want to give one example of the former here. And great, The Apprentice. Now, I wonder how many of you watched The Apprentice. Yeah? Okay. Sorry, guys, I hate it. I'm sorry, I know. I know there's some of you who love these programs like this and some of you hate it. I tend to be on that end. But I know it's got a cult following. There's lots of people who love The Apprentice. And there's Lord Sugar with a number of former contestants there behind him. Those of you who don't know The Apprentice, it's about ambitious young guys and going to make a mint for you, Lord Sugar. You need to take me on. Now, it's interesting There's some very interesting quotes from The Apprentice. And here's one. I think, you have to think about this one. I think outside the box. If I was an apple pie, the apples inside me would be oranges. Now, these are some of the most outrageous quotes that has been from The Apprentice, okay? Next one. As a salesperson, I would rate myself as probably the best in Europe. And this one I absolutely love. Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there are footprints on the moon. Do you know, there are people who believe that they are the absolute best. I think that some of these contestants could have done well to look at Romans chapter 12 and have a sober judgment of themselves, because so many of these guys who made these comments ended up losing out and getting nowhere. Having a right assessment, a sober judgment of ourselves is just so important. And I want to just bring out three main points this morning, because the subject is about humility and how we get that right assessment. And I want to look at three main points. Now, the first is humility ultimately is about being in Christ. When we are in Christ, we will understand what it is to be humble. And it's so important to know who we are, to know our identity. And because knowing who you are affects what you do. If you understand exactly who you are, that will affect your very behavior. The sad thing is some of those contestants didn't actually understand who they were. They thought they were one thing, but actually they were another. But we, as believers, our identity is taken up in who we are in Christ. And when we think of humility, there's probably one passage in Scripture which speaks into this more than any other. And that is Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 8. And it speaks right into what it means to be humble. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is totally countercultural. That is totally the opposite of what some of Lord Sugar's contestants think of themselves. It says it's not all about me and what I can achieve. It's about Jesus and who he is. And if the one who created the whole universe and the whole world could humble himself and die the most unbelievable death, humiliating death, on a cross, how much more should we understand that by being believers, we are rooted into Christ, which changes everything. He is the basis on which we get our identity. And as a believer, you and I, that's who we are. We're rooted in Christ. And when we understand our identity in him, it will totally affect the way that we live and relate one to another. So if humility is being in Christ, we need to know who we are in order to affect what we do. And then we also picked up from that passage that we need to have the same mindset as Christ, the same views. To think that, as I say, he, the one who is created just by his words, spoke into being, the whole creation. And then he humbled himself to become a man and die on a cross. To have that mindset, we are called to think the way that he does. Think how he thinks. We often use that expression, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And the way we understand that is by allowing the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and our lives, that we might be more and more inclined to the mindset of Christ. And it's only against him that we'll ever have a sober judgment of ourselves. It's only ever judging against who Christ is that we will understand who we are. And that is that we all, every single one of us, stand equal before God. Because we were all born into sin. We all had no hope. But every single one of us has, by the grace of God, been forgiven of our sins, born again into new life. And we stand equal in his sight. We need to have the same mindset as Christ. And to know who we are in Christ, affecting what we do, to align ourselves with him, actually, we cannot do this in our own strength. The Christian life is about walking. And we need to keep on abiding. Keep on allowing the Spirit of God to fill us in order to become more and more Christ-like. John 15, verse 4. Remain in him, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. For us to continue to know what it means to live in humility, we need to be rooted in Christ, living in Christ, and abiding in Christ daily. It's a daily walk. And I know in my own life that when I've slipped on this one, it's because I've not been abiding. I've not been staying close to Jesus. I've not allowed his Holy Spirit continually to affect the way I think and what I do and how I behave. How do we do it? We remain rooted and abiding in Christ. His love, sacrificial, not guided by selfish ambition, motivated totally. This forever amazes me that God, the God of all glory, was motivated by his love for us, that he was willing to come and die, that we might have life. That level of humility and sacrifice is incredible. How can I ever live like that? Well, the answer is I can't. But by abiding in Christ, I will increasingly become more and more like him. And that together is our desire as a church. It's our desire across the nations that as the name of Jesus is lifted up, we become more and more like him. And this amazing message of transformation through him will affect the culture in which we live. And Grace Church is full of people not looking out for their own interests. And I have been so blessed, and myself and Joel, we've been so blessed by the fact that this is a church of people not looking out for their own interests, but looking out for others. Continually hearing of people honouring others, giving themselves, looking out for meals when people are sick, or if there are needs, those happening across the life of the church. And this happens because you care one for another. You really are a church of one another's, as we've been looking at throughout this series. And humility is expressed when we say, it's not about me, I'm going to give myself to others. So moving on in Romans 12, the next verse 4, and then to part of verse 6, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to each one of us. So I guess if the first measure of how we evaluate ourselves in terms of what it means to be humble is by our mindset and aligning to Christ, the second has to be our gifts. And this passage is actually all about the gifts that God has given us. And humility is found in using our gifts. So this guards against us having wrong attitudes. Because if on the one hand, you can have someone who thinks, I'm the best thing since sliced bread, and that's the basis on which you assess yourself. The other way that we can go is by thinking, I am useless. I have got nothing to bring, and come into low self-esteem. Understanding that God has given us gifts guards against that attitude as well. And the reality is, Paul uses this sort of picture of us being a body because we need each other. When you are born again and you come into the body of Christ, it's God's rooted you in one to the other. And there's not one person here who is not needed when you're part of the church. And that's why Paul uses this analogy. You know, this is why it's so wrong to say, I'm fine as a Christian on my own. I don't need to come to church. It's actually not true. Otherwise, this whole picture of being a body would not be something that's in the Bible. In a body, each part is connected. My hand is connected to my arm, is connected to my torso, is connected. I'm all connected together. And every part of the body needs the other part. You can't say one part of the body doesn't need the other. And the same is so true when it comes to the body of Christ and who we are. So we're able to evaluate ourselves on that basis. Now, one of the things I've sort of done over the years is gone to and spoken at a few funerals. I did it last week. I went to speak at someone who is, was a part of King's Church in Eastbourne. And those funerals where I hear about people who have served Christ all their lives, given of themselves, and you hear these amazing eulogies, I absolutely love to thinking, praise God. They use the gifts that God gave them in their life. Sadly, I've been to other funerals, and do you know one of the most common songs to be sung, particularly at secular funerals these days? It's Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. It's true. That has almost become the funeral song that people sing. And it is such a lie. It's a lie because the tragedy is, in this world, there is so much isolation. And there's so much loneliness. And people, they may say, I did it my way, but the reality is, there's a longing in our communities for one another. And the church is the one place where it's amazing if people from different backgrounds and diversity are rooted one together. We need each other because God's created it that way. In exactly the same way as we're part of the body. You know, there's many things that we do instinctively. This last week, the weather has been appalling. Now, I'm not the best driver that there is. I'm sure there's others of you who are better gifted, shall I put it that way, in being drivers. And there may be some who are perhaps not so good. I don't know. But I do have my moments when I don't do so well. So I was driving along this week, and the sun was low in the sky. It was pouring with rain, and suddenly the sun hit the road, all the water on the road, and I was completely blinded. And I suddenly thought, I don't know where I'm going or what to do. And everything in my body froze. You know, to drive, I need my eyes. My hands were on the wheel, you know, my foot on the pedal. The whole part of your body is involved in driving a car. But suddenly, when the light shone and it was blazing and this glare I was getting back, I was completely paralyzed and my hands didn't know what to do. My foot was on the brake. Do you know, one part of the body not operating correctly affects the whole. And that's why none of us can say, I'm not needed. I'm not important. You are. Every single one of you are. Because if one is not functioning properly, it affects the whole part of the body. Let's move on. Romans 12, second part, and 6b through to 8. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What comes out of this is that God made and gifted you to be you. He made you to be you. He's distributed gifts. And if you look in that list, it says, if your gift is this, then go with it. Give of yourself to it. That can be actually quite releasing because God's made us unique and we all have different abilities and gifts in exactly the same way as in the body, there's different parts and different abilities. And some gifts are more public than others, but all are vital. So the New Year's Eve party was a fantastic example here in Grace Church of people playing their part. There are many, many people giving hours to setting up this this hall, preparing food, getting everything together. So much going on behind the scenes, so that on the night, a few people who are very, very gifted musically could stand up and make it a great evening. But had not everyone else put in all the work behind the scenes, the evening wouldn't have happened. You know, there's lots of different people who make this church the church that it is because you're giving yourselves to what you're doing. So there are those with brilliant organizational skills, those with amazing musical talent. It was a great time of worship this morning. Just loved it. Those who are hardworking, setting up tables, car parking, welcome. So many things in the life of a church like this makes it happen, and every single one is needed. So humility means that we honor the gifts that God's distributed to one another. We don't try and be what we're not. God's made you to be you, and he's made me to be me. And I had to learn this the hard way, because when I was asked to, many years ago now, to leave my job, I was working in the Ministry of Defence in engineering, and I was asked to go and full-time, and I became an elder in a church in Sidcup, in southeast London. And I immediately thought, David Holden, who some of you will know, was leading the church, and I immediately thought, therefore, now that I am an elder, I have got to be like this. And for so long, I tried to model myself on other people. I tried to model what it was to preach like David. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm not a great Bible scholar like others are. And yet I tried and tried and tried. I've got to be this. I've got to be that. Until eventually, I think God sort of humbled me in perhaps not the best of ways sometimes, where once I got up to speak and it was just horrendous and I completely blew it. And then almost like God liberated me, thinking, Steve, I want you to be who you are. Don't try and be anything else. I want you to be who you are. God wants you to be who you are because you've got an amazing part to play. When we try and be something we're not, it goes wrong. But when we all play to the gifts that God's given us, the church operates as it's meant to be. And then that takes us on. We are to use the gifts that God has given us. No one can say that I'm not good at anything. If we do that, that's denying that God has said it. He's the one who's distributed the gifts. So there can also be a false humility by saying, no, not me. There must be someone else who can do it. I'm no good at this. Someone else can do it. And we can be tempted to think that humility is just sitting in the shadows and leaving it to everyone else to get on with. I'll prefer them over myself and leave it to them. I'll be no good at it anyway. And some of us have that tendency. I think I can, actually, my character can be to have that tendency. Someone else will be better than me. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, said this, and it may be familiar to you, it's a expression we'd have heard, but he said this: humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. In other words, it's not putting yourself down that I've got nothing to bring. It's thinking not about me, but about others. Thinking less of me. And it's opposite to what it is to be humble. It's actually acknowledging that our gifts that we exercise in humility, by exercising those gifts, we are actually being humble. When we deny our talents and instead focus on our weaknesses, on some level, what we're saying is we're telling God that we know best and that God somehow made a mistake in gracing us with our unique mix of talents. We use the gifts God's given us in accordance with the faith that he's given us. And so some of us have got greater faith to be able to do things than others. And I honor those of you who can play a musical instrument. I thought the band was great this morning. Guys, you who play, brilliant. Don't give me a musical instrument. Please, please, Simo, can I beg of you, never ask me to play in the band. It won't be pleasant. You won't enjoy it. It's not my gift. I can't do it. But I honor those who can, and I think you're great. Some of you will know Andrew Wilson. He and I were in the same church in King's, and he spoke at West Point, and he's a remarkable theologian, very talented guy. And he would say this. People come up to him and say, Andrew, that was a great preach. And he'll turn around and say, thank you. I'm very gifted when it comes to preaching and teaching. When you hear that, you think, that sounds so arrogant. But what's more arrogant, to say I'm very gifted or to say I worked so hard at this, I spent hours and hours and hours at it? What's more arrogant? Actually, it's more arrogant to say the latter, because what Andrew is acknowledging is, it's God who gave me the gift. And these guys who play the instruments, God gifted them. There's nothing special about you, Simo. You're just gifted, mate. Sorry, I don't mean it. There's a lot which is special about you, Simo. I love you to bits, mate. But I'm just acknowledging that God gave you the gift. So let's acknowledge where God has gifted us and use those gifts. Let's move on quickly. Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another. I honor you, Simo. And above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Third and final point is that humility is considering others. In the church, our love for one another is wonderful when we see we're all working together. Not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt Christ. And our desire is to be zealous in love for one another, because in doing so, we're serving the Lord. So sincere in our love. Our motivation is to be something that we're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it because there's genuine, passionate love and care one for the other. And we learn to hate what is evil. And at the heart of evil, of course, is pride. We learn to hate that and being self-sufficient. And the opposite is humility, when we're sincere in our love one for the other. And one way in which we overcome pride is by actively honoring others. We honor others above ourselves. And again, that was demonstrated in the New Year's Eve party. And I loved the New Year's Eve party. And it was great to see the way that Darren and Lois were so honored. But you could see them cringing at the front when all these amazing comments were made about them. But it's better, it's good to honor others above ourselves. There are so many examples in the church here. Then we're to be, zealous in serving the Lord together. And that is in stark contrast, again, going right back to the beginning with the apprentice. They're very zealous. They're very zealous in their teams. But their zeal is based upon promoting themselves to win. Our zeal together is promoted on lifting up the name of Christ together and zealous one for the other, because we want to see Jesus lifted up, not myself lifted up. That's where our zeal is to be. And when we work in teams as a church, we support one another, we encourage one another, and we're each playing our part into the furtherance and advance of the kingdom. In this way, there's a clear sense that we're on a mission together. In a few weeks' time, a number will go to launch a new site in Havant, and that will leave a gap here in Chichester, because there are people who are serving in all sorts of areas and ways. And God may be prompting you may be thinking this morning, I couldn't possibly get involved in supernovas or sparklers. It may just be that God's saying, actually, you can. I've put gifts within you. And I just say this. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, what are my gifts then? You're saying we're all gifted. I'm not sure what they are. Sometimes you have to take a step of faith and try it out. And if it doesn't work out, we'll say, I'll do something else. You know, I never naturally felt able to stand up in front of people and speak. If you saw me many years ago, it'd be the opposite. I had to take a step of faith, and sometimes you have to push ourselves forward. So we as a church, we're moving forward, it's advanced, and one church across four sites, and 2018 is going to be a great, I think, great year for Grace Church, as once again we go and launch another site into Havant. But to keep moving forward, we need to keep making changes, and there's another tweak which is happening in the life of Grace Church. And Thomas Bishop, who's part of the eldership team that leads Grace Church, and he's currently based in the Bognor site. But God's been stirring Thomas and Catherine, his wife, and their four daughters. And they really feel a call of God as part of this sense of we're moving forward together to move from Bognor to Midhurst. Still part one church, but a sense we're advancing, and Thomas felt God speak. And why are they moving to Midhurst? Let's go and support the work there. Let's see the greater advance into Midhurst. So if you see Thomas, that's what they're doing. We're announcing that in all three sites today. But it's all part of moving forward in advance. It's a wonderful church on a mission. So encouraged to see that Grace Church is indeed, as Paul describes, a body working together, willing to make sacrifices one for the other in order to advance the gospel. And then finally, on being part of humility, considering others, is we're faithful when the going gets tough. Paul finishes by saying, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And there are times when it's not easy. There's a battle. And being humble is to admit that and to encourage one another when it does get tough. It's been a bit of a battle launching Havant. Many of those who are going to Havant have experienced some tough times just recently. Illness, deaths in the family. There is a battle. There's a battle in terms of moving forward. What do? We get alongside each other and we encourage one another. And we support one another. We don't push ahead and saying, oh, it's all about me. No, we're looking out one for the other as we serve each other together. As I draw this to a close, I want to bring up a story. I could say it was my story, but that would be going totally against the topic of humility. It's not mine. This is John Piper, who is a renowned theologian. But he used this example. A few years ago, there was a film, Flags of Our Fathers, based upon events in World War II. And in February and March 1945, US troops fought and won one of the most crucial and costly battles of Iwo Jima, and that's an island in the Pacific, south of Japan. 800 American ships amassed to assault the island with its two strategic airstrips. Having fought a total of 43 months in the Pacific in World War II, in this one-month assault on Iwo Jima, they incurred a third of their total losses. They took the island, but 6,800 died, and most of them were 18 to 20-year-olds. And this was depicted by this photo, and those of you who've seen the film, it's where they've taken the island. And there's actually a statue of this in Virginia, in a place called Arlington in the States. But it's very hard for us to comprehend just what they, and many like them, went through in the war. But it does beg the question, how did these Marines do it? How did they run behind each other into the thickest machine gun fire? And the 2nd Battalion sent 1,688 men ashore and into the face of those guns. 1,511 were killed, 177 left the island, 91 of those were injured. What on earth kept them going is the question which came out of it. And there was one simple answer, but one that came out over and over in the film, Flags of Our Fathers, and it was this. These are my buddies, and they need me. And James Bradley, who is the author of the book on which the film was based, commented, these boys would fight to the death for one another, and that motive made them invincible. So the photo of those US servicemen raising the flag on Mount Suribachi became an iconic symbol of the Marines standing together in victory. The Christian life is a joy, but it's a battle. And it's a battle to see the kingdom of God advance, to see people come to know Christ and find eternal peace and joy in him. And in our one anothering, we want to be together in order to see the advance of the gospel. And just as I close, there's some action points we can do. If you're not already done so, then do make sure you're in a life group or have completed the What's On form. There's so many opportunities to get involved. The marriage group, where we encourage one another to build strong marriages. Home for Child, where people are willing to make a difference by fostering, adopting, or caring for adults with learning disabilities. All sorts of things that people are involved in the life of this church. If you want to find out more, join that group. Beta, which is for those who have done Alpha but want to know more about the Christian life. Freedom in Christ group, where we understand our identity in Christ. So many opportunities, and we'll give the opportunity to put that form in the buckets just in a short while at the end of the meeting. But in conclusion, and as the band could come up, who I honour greatly, I trust that there's one theme which has come through this morning. And although it's on humility, the one theme which I trust has come through is it's all about Christ. You know, our humility is being in Christ. Humility is using the gifts he's given us. And humility is considering others so we bring glory to him. So in a moment, we're going to take communion and the bread will be passed round. And I see no better way than us honoring Jesus, who in Philippians 2, we looked at earlier, humbled himself on a cross for our sake and died that we might have life. And as we take the bread, we're recognizing we're part of one body. We need one another. But Jesus is the head. So we're going to stand and sing. And when you've taken the bread, then the wine is either, the juice is either side. Do go ahead and take the juice as well. But let's bring worship back to Jesus, the one who has done so much for us.